Yesterday I couldn't talk, but this morning I can a little bit. So I asked John, I said, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach. And he said, hey, Michael Jordan played with the flu, and he had a fantastic game, so suck it up. He didn't say that. But second service, if you're watching me on the video, it's because I can't talk anymore. Okay, so glad to see everybody here. And if I told you it was possible to achieve an 80% protection against substance abuse, would you want to know how? What if I said you could achieve greater than a 60% protection against major depressive disorders? Would you want to know how? You can give me feedback. Yes, okay. What about a 70% decrease in adverse risk-taking? Would you want to know how?
Sure.
Yes, you would. Okay, you're going to have to help me. Or lower your risk to suicidality by 50 to 70%. Would you want to know how?
Yeah.
Good. Dr. Lisa Miller, in her book called The Spiritual Child, The New Science of Parenting for Health and Lifelong Thriving, states these scientifically proven facts, but you don't know what the reason is, but you might have an indication. Some of you know that back in 2020, I started working towards my doctorate. And if you didn't know that, spoiler alert, I started working on my doctorate back in the fall of 2020. I'm now at the tail end of this program, and my ministry project is coming up to address this very thing with a research that is closely related to the sermon series that Pastor John and I are going to be going over during the season of Lent. The intention behind my doctoral project is to create a stronger spiritual resiliency in the lives of our soldiers in the Kansas Army National Guard, but is completely transferable to anybody who is seeking God. Now, those aspects that Dr. Miller mentioned in her book, people who have a well-developed spiritual life protects against those things. She looked at brain scans. She looked at the brain intensively, and over the span of many, many years, there's a part in your brain that actually develops. And those who have a strong spiritual life. But it isn't just about being protected against all those negative things that I mentioned earlier. It's about experiencing more of God. It's about encountering God in a very real way. Sorry, my voice is really distracting, but you can be laughing under your breath. I wanted to be the hero this morning, but, you know. So even though it will reduce the risk of suicide and depression and poor relationships and divorces and moral failures, it's really about producing a lifelong encounter, deepening in a relationship with God. Because God is first and foremost our sustainer and our protector. He is our ever-present help during trouble. So I'm going to provide five important things to remember as we talk about these spiritual disciplines and practices. We do these practices, number one, because we want to continue to abide in Christ. I'm going to cough. Ready? Mute me.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. So,
number two, Jesus practiced these spiritual pathways as an example for us to follow. We're going to look at what these practices are, what works for you maybe, and to create some curiosity to experience and follow through with some of these spiritual disciplines. Four, we're going to start out in incremental ways. If you heard my sermon months ago, I quoted, "What about Bob?" Baby steps. Got to take baby steps. We create disciplines as a habit because our flesh, if we're being honest, doesn't want to put in the work. Okay. So as Pastor John and I go through these spiritual practices or disciplines, we're going to be able to uncover some biblical characters that practice them. We'll get a chance to hear from many on our staff of and some in our church who have encountered God in very real and practical ways through practicing these spiritual disciplines. Here's the thing. All spiritual disciplines are important, but not all of us connect with God in the same way or through the same practice or disciplines. For instance, journaling may be an incredible way for you to speak to God and for God to speak to you. So like my wife, journaling and writing out prayers is an important piece of her spiritual disciplines. For me, it's not, because I don't like to journal. I don't like to write things down. I like the path of least resistance. And I get a little lazy at times. But I have practiced it for a time, and God has revealed things that I needed to address during the day, so I have heard from God. Pastor John preached on this a few months ago. He said that there's different ways that Christians experience God, and it's from this book by Gary Thomas called The Sacred Pathways Book. He said we can experience God through nature. That's a naturalist. Go to the next slide, please. I connect with God through being in nature. There's a sensate. This is a person who experienced God through the beautiful art and powerful music. There's a traditionalist. I connect with God through timeless disciplines rich in symbols and meaningful traditions. There's the ascetic. I connect with God by being alone in quiet places and living simply. There's the activist. I connect with God by standing against what God hates and afflicting the comfortable. There's the caregiver. I want to comfort the afflicted and connect with God by helping others. There's the enthusiast. I want to feel and experience my relationship with God. In contemplative, I connect with God by abiding, by adoring him and experiencing his love for me. And then there's the intellectual. I connect with God through studying and learning more about his ways. Now, for you men out there, I'm going to throw you a bone. And I'm making a wide, sweeping generalization. If you like fishing, hunting, or camping, you might experience God in nature. I've talked to many men who experience, there's like, yeah, I connect with God in nature. So, wives of those men, the next time your man says that I need to go on a fishing trip, or I need to go camping, or I need to go hunting, don't be so quick to say no. That's meant to be funny and true at the same time. So guys, I threw you a bone, but now wives, I'm going to throw you a bone too. Men out there, when you leave and you go away and you experience nature, you need to be paying attention to what God is saying to you. You need to intentionally engage God. And feel free to respond, women, and let me know if I'm wrong. You want to hear from your man what they experienced. You want to know how God spoke to them. You want to hear how powerful these encounters were while you're sitting in a deer stand or in a blind or on a boat or on the shore fishing or sitting by the campfire. Your women want to know what is going on in your brain. So you need to prepare to share that. I guarantee, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and if you want to say amen, women, if your man is willing to do that with you, would you be more apt to letting him go out on more of those trips? Say amen. Three women out there, good job. But number one, first and foremost, the spiritual disciplines and practices are all about learning how to abide more in Christ. John 15:4-8, Jesus tells us, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is all about abiding in Christ, so that we can bear much fruit. And the fruit that we receive is not just for us, it's for other people to experience the fruit that we are producing, because it points them to God. So the sermon series is really learning how to abide in Christ. The ways we practice and the way we become better disciplined and experiencing more of God. So what are some ways that we can begin to learn and how to connect with God? What are some of these spiritual pathways for us to follow? Well, we look at the example of Jesus. Next slide. Jesus prayed alone. He prayed a lot. He taught his followers how to pray. He prayed privately, and he cultivated his relationship with God the Father. I'm going to cough again. Ready? Okay, thanks. They were going to let me mute myself. I didn't want to have that kind of a responsibility. So, Jesus fasted. You know, we hear of him fasting in the wilderness for 40 days before beginning his ministry, and how fasting helps and helped him grow spiritually. Jesus worshiped. He worshiped constantly in the synagogues and the Sabbath. He worshiped God in the wilderness. He worshiped God everywhere. God's greatness, his goodness, and his beauty. Jesus read the Bible. I mean, he read the Torah or the Tanakh. He praised God's greatness, goodness, and beauty, but he also read Scripture. In fact, he used Scripture to defend against Satan's attacks. Jesus rested. He took the Sabbath seriously. Jesus practiced community. He surrounded himself with other men. He practiced silence and solitude. Jesus found solitude and silence. He went away to a quiet place to experience God's presence. So, over the next 5 to 6 weeks, we're going to hear about some of these spiritual practices in order to give us an opportunity to perhaps practice these if you've never done them before. We'll talk about the importance of giving and generosities. We're going to hear from various staff members and maybe some a representative from the men's Bible study on Wednesdays about the importance of memorizing Scripture. But Tiffany is going to share about how giving and generosity has impacted her life. We're going to talk about journaling and prayer, and Amy is going to share about how God has spoken to her through prayer, but not journaling. Connor, later today, is going to give his testimony on the importance of practicing retreat and solitude and how God spoke to him. Linda's going to give her testimony on serving and hospitality and how it's been a blessing to her in experiencing God. Lizzie is going to preach a sermon on the importance of connecting in the community and the importance of spirits experiencing God in this practice. And there are so many more spiritual practices that we're going to touch on. There are so many more that you can do. And perhaps at one point, we'll give a reference to some of the books that you can check out, or you can just Google search some things. Oh, and by the way, Jesus didn't journal because there was no paper. Okay. Two practices that have been particularly impactful to my life has been church attendance and practicing participating in the church calendar. You've heard me say this before growing up. We went to church every single Sunday. And as a kid, I didn't always want to go to church on Sundays. I don't know what it is about us. We can get up early the rest of the week, but Sunday, it's just, especially daylight savings in the spring. I'm proud of all of you who got here for this service this morning. Good job. But as a kid and as an early teen, I didn't really want to go to church a lot. But my parents made it a priority. I'm going to cough again. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. But my parents made it a priority for all of us. Even when we went on vacation, we went to church. Even when I tried to get out of it during my soccer games, we always found a church nearby on the soccer near the soccer fields on Sunday morning. I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't get out of it. But you know what it taught me? It taught me that my parents made it a priority. I knew it was a priority for them. And later on as an adult, it became more important to me into my college years and early adulthood. And you know, now I have to come to church on Sundays. No, I'm kidding. But even when I was on a sabbatical, I went to many different church services on the Sunday. But I do need to confess that I didn't go to church on January 24th. I was snowboarding that day. It's the first time I missed church in like years. So I'll confess that. There you go. All right. So, men, again, I'm going to share a statistic. There was a blog that I read, and they took this statistic from someone else who took it from someone else who took it. I didn't really care to just look it up, but I knew that it was, I've heard this before many times. It's called the Lutheran Theology for Everyday People. It says when either mom or dad attend church, 80% of the time kids aren't going to go either. When, you can go to the next slide, when only mom attends regularly to church, 39% of the kids will attend regularly as adults. But when mom and dad both attend regularly, 74% of the kids will attend as adults. But here's the number. When only dads attend regularly, 67% attend as adults. Without mom's influence, it's only about a 7% drop, but without dad's influence, there's a 35% drop. The second spiritual practice is celebrating and remembering the church calendar. Also became something that I began appreciating later on in life. This last Wednesday, we had an Ash Wednesday service, which is appropriate. We don't have Ash Wednesday service on Tuesday. Good job, everybody. But this is a part of the church calendar for Protestants. But if you're Catholic or you're Eastern Orthodox, there's even more. So, in Covenant churches, some celebrate Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate Pentecost Sunday. There's the season of Advent, Lent, Passion or Holy Week, Epiphany, Easter, Christmas. And these are all ways in which the church has had different times of the church year for our focus to remain on Christ and what Christ has done and about God's faithfulness for what he continues to do. The Israelites were commanded to observe certain times of the year. There's Rosh Hashanah, there's Yom Kippur, there's Pur, and that's the celebration of Esther and God's protection against the people there. So, this is going back. This is number three. We have to take baby steps. We have to take baby steps. If you've never practiced a discipline before and you try to go full board into it, you might easily give up. You could easily get discouraged. Whoa. I promised that I was going to pray 30 minutes a day for a month, and I can't seem to be doing that. No, I sound like the Batman from... okay, good. I am Batman. Okay, no, sorry. John, you should have preached. Sorry about that. Thanks for tuning in still, everybody that's online. So if you've never practiced these things before, take baby steps. So for instance, if you've never attended church on a consistent basis, maybe you show up once a quarter, maybe start with attending and committing once a month. If you're a once a monther, maybe try coming every other week or twice a month. Or if you attend a couple of times a month, maybe consider coming every Sunday. Maybe consider getting involved in something on Wednesday. It's about taking baby steps. Okay. And for participating in the church calendar, maybe you want to start off by just celebrating Christmas and Easter. People, that is low-hanging fruit. You can do that. In fact, people who don't even come here, they make it a way to come here on Christmas and Easter. You can too. Here's the thing. No one is forcing you to do any of this. And God is not forcing you to do any of these spiritual practices or disciplines. Even the ones that I mentioned and the ones that I mentioned earlier. No one is going to tell you what to do, and you don't have to listen to anybody. But here's the thing. You remember those statistics that I mentioned earlier. There's a reason why abiding in Christ really does protect us against a lot of negative things in our life. It's kind of like God designed it that way. It's kind of like God designed abiding for us to really know what God's heart is, what God is saying to us. But no one's going to force you to do any of this. This has to be a willingness on our parts in experiencing God through the disciplines, because our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. From Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And Connor read this scripture passage last week or the week before, Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform anymore to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here's another thing. This is the last thing. It's so much easier to do nothing than to do anything. It is so much easier to do nothing than to do anything. So start off small. Give yourself some grace. Recognize that it's called a spiritual practice. And we're talking about practice again. No, we're talking about it's practice, not perfection. We give ourselves grace. God gives us grace. And it's important to understand that when you fall down, we get back up again. That's from Toby Mac. Anybody? Toby Mac? All right, good work. A few people. Man. Okay, well. So consider some of these practices. The ones that I talked about again, church attendance and observing church holidays and observances. So now our trusty director of worship is going to come up and talk about a particular spiritual practice that has been particularly impactful to him and his faith development. Ladies and gentlemen, Connor Gibson.
So yeah, I have the opportunity to share about the role of silence and solitude in my own walk with the Lord, my spiritual journey, my relationship with Christ. I wanted to start my time of sharing just by reminding us and pointing us to just the fact that Jesus often withdrew from crowds, from his own disciples, to be alone with the Lord. In Matthew 14, it says, after Jesus had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone. The solitude intentionally creates space of quiet. Space of quietness. And in that quiet, the inner roar of our world of noise, the distractions, the TV shows, the podcasts, the music fades away. And what shimmers in its place is the peace and presence of God. Share on my sabbatical in September and October of this last year, the opportunity to go on a week-long retreat. And the point of this retreat was to get away, hence the name retreat. But it was very intentional in that we left our cell phones and devices, computers in our cars, and when we walked into the building, no internet, no nothing, for a whole week. No contact with the outside world. And the whole point of the retreat was to press into and chase after the heart of God. And many hours of every day were spent outside in the wilderness alone, listening for that still small voice of the Lord. On day two of this retreat, we had a devotional, and it was based on the Colossians 3. And in verse 15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." And again, in silence and solitude, we had the prompt, what rules your heart? Does the peace of Christ rule your heart? And I had this realization in the stillness that no, the peace of Christ did not rule my heart. So then the prompt was, well, if it's not the peace of Christ, then what does rule your heart? And in that moment, from somewhere very deep inside me, I just had this fear. Rules my heart. I didn't quite know what to do with that. That afternoon, we were sent out again into the wilderness, alone with God, and the prompt for the day was, we want you to confess the Lord. Today's the day of confession and repentance. But we don't want you to just start confessing stuff to the Lord. We want you to ask God to reveal to you what you need to confess, and then wait. And listen. So as I'm asking God and sitting there again alone in stillness and quiet, God, what do I need to confess? Felt very clearly a voice. I didn't hear it audibly, but it was still clear. Say, Connor, you're trying to control me and to control your life, and you don't trust me. And that kind of set up my sabbatical as far as pressing into that, wondering, God, how do I move forward through this? I don't completely trust you. What does that look like? How am I going to move forward in that? And I just kept getting the keep pressing into me. Keep pressing in. So as I'm processing throughout that week on this retreat, all of a sudden this song is coming to my mind, in my ear. It's like a soundtrack playing, and it's a song I hadn't heard in a few years. But it's the song Come Out of Hiding by Stephanie Gretzinger, if you're familiar with the song. But it's like the Lord is just calling to me, come out of hiding, Connor. You're safe with me, Connor. Quit running from me, Connor. I am good. You think that I'm angry at you, Connor. You think that I'm mad at you. You think I'm disappointed in you. You think that you're not good enough for me. You think that you're not safe. Again, in the silence and the solitude, God confronted these lies that I was believing. And there were lies that I would say were not true, right? I know these aren't true. But here, it's very much, deep down, I was operating under those things. The chorus says in that song, picture Jesus saying this, because I loved you before you knew it was love, and I saw it all, still I chose the cross. You were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. So get rid of the shackles. My victory's yours, because I tore the veil so you could come close, and there's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from home. Invite the worship team to come on up. God's just telling me, you know that I'm good, but you don't know that I'm good. Anybody get that? You know what I'm saying? You know that I love you, but you don't know that I love you. You know that I'm for you, that I'm good, but you don't know that. And pressing in the silence and solitude is where I heard from the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered me. I've come to know God here, not just here. And silence and solitude played a big role of that in my life. And we're going to sing this song that's called Jireh to close our service today. Just as we sing this together, let the words wash over you. Let them minister to you. All these different parts of this are from Scripture. It's telling us who God is. He is provider. He is redeemer. He knows our needs before we even ask. He gives us what we need when we need it. And I wanted to close by reading the scripture out of Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And it ends by saying, I say this to myself. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is our portion. Let us wait for him.